Our Heavenly Father, we pray that in your kindness to us, your love for us, your pity for us, and take away from our minds those things that will easily distract us. And will you help us to fully understand your word, what it means, and the depth of it, the depth of it. Lord, help us to dig down so deep that we will be amazed at what we find, and our hearts will be filled with your joy. And so we commit each other to you, we commit this study to you, and we pray for your blessing on us in spite of these various distractions, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Romans chapter 8, and you can turn to that. And chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by sinful nature, God did, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful nature to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. And the great theme of this chapter 8 is to remind us, through what he has written before from chapter 1 to chapter 7, and written about this new righteousness which has come to us through Jesus Christ and so on, Paul is going to remind us now that our status before God has changed. And because that has changed, everything about us has changed, whether we recognize it or not, feel it or not, whether we wake up in the morning and say, I feel so different today or not. If you are in Christ, you are changed. And so this chapter is simply called No Condemnation. And this is what Paul says in verse 1. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Now, this phrase, no condemnation, is a great biblical statement. And if we get it right, if we understand it correctly, we're not understanding it shallowly or in a trivial way, but if we understand it as the Apostle Paul, under the Holy Spirit, meant us to understand it, we'll discover what a very important truth it is for our spiritual health on a daily basis and our sense of well-being spiritually. Because very often we don't have a sense of well-being spiritually. We feel down and out and defeated and dead, and we don't feel we're getting anywhere, and that sense of well-being is not there. And we don't feel spiritually healthy. We feel spiritually weak and spiritually deficient in every way. That's how we normally feel, because we are fallen human beings. And the counteraction to that is to understand what the apostle means by these words, no condemnation. And really what Paul is doing is continuing teaching us from Romans 5. He has digressed a little bit over Romans 5, but in Romans 5 he's announced a way of salvation in which there is no longer any condemnation. We are now free from condemnation. Romans 3, a new way of salvation and righteousness has been revealed to us. Romans 5, he spoke about that one man who came, and through his death we have all died, and now we are free and we are new people in Christ Jesus. So he's talking about a very great spiritual truth which has to be revealed to us by the Spirit for us to truly grasp it. And here in chapter 8, he's taking a fresh look. He's repeating all that he's taught in Romans chapter 7. And we're going to look at what this doctrine of justification by faith really means under the title of no condemnation. Okay? So, the first thing we're going to do is have a look at the words no condemnation. Now, I want you to remember that in any language in the world, especially take the English language. In the English language, the word no is considered an absolute word. Do you know what I mean by that? It's a total word. If you have a child that comes to the table to pick on some sweets that are there that he shouldn't be eating, and you say no, you do not mean no, maybe, right? You mean no. At least you should. You should mean no. And if somebody comes to you and says, look, I'd like to borrow a couple of hundred rands from you for this and that and the other, and you say, I've got no money, you should mean exactly what you say. I have no money. You may have some money that you need for a specific purpose to keep your family on track, but I have no money that I can give you. I've had to say that to a few security guards lately because they forget that most people don't carry money on them anymore today. And so a lot of their customers don't give them anything because there's no change to be had. Now I've been caught in that situation. So no is an absolute word. And a Christian is a person who has been taken entirely outside of the realm of any possible or conceivable condemnation. No. There is no condemnation. So no doesn't mean some condemnation. No means no. No condemnation. And the word condemnation, I remind you, is a legal word. It's a legal word. It's got to do with the law. It's got to do with guilt. It's got to do with death. That is what it's got to do with in our society today. There are certain legal words. So we get forensic scientists, we get forensic bookkeepers and people like that who deal according to the law to chase down injustices and unrighteousness and to punish it. So it's a forensic word, the word condemnation. And it's got to do with God and his great, eternal, total justice as the creator of the universe. It's a great and a good word. It means that as far as God is concerned, everything is right. There is nothing that is wrong. God's universe was created by him. It was a right universe because he's right. And the word righteous simply means he is right in everything he does, everything he thinks, everything he says. He is right. So the great creator of this universe, whom we can't even conceive of, we can't even think of the size of the universe. You know, I struggle to actually look at some of those amazing photographs that come from outer space because it makes me a bit frightened when I think of his size and his immensity, his greatness, and how everything is created is right. And this huge, huge universe has been impacted by one little man and one little woman in one little spot and one little planet doing something that was wrong. And that wrong thing impacted the whole rightness of everything in the universe. But, says Paul, there is no condemnation. There's nothing forensic against you. There's nothing that a lawyer can bring against you or a judge can condemn you for. There's nothing that anybody can sue you for anymore. There's no condemnation for any one of us who are true Christians anymore. We have got nothing to do with the legal system of the universe anymore. See, we've got nothing to do with that anymore. We have been redeemed from law and guilt and death. Now, the point is that the Christian, the individual Christian, when you become a Christian, you are taken out of that realm. It's like being taken out of one country, the country of guilt, the country of condemnation, the country of death, the country of darkness, the country of wickedness. You've been lifted out by eternal hands. And you be moved across to a country of sunshine, a country of joy, a country of happiness, and a country of fruitness. You've been transferred. You're no longer part of that old country, you're part of a new country. And in that new country, you live in a realm where there's no such thing as condemnation. There's no such thing as being guilty anymore. There is no condemnation. And now you are living in that country as you sit here tonight. If you're a Christian, you are living in a country, spiritually speaking, metaphorically speaking. You are living in a country where there is nothing to do with death or judgment or eternal hell for you. You've been lifted out of it. Now, you don't always feel that way. And you always say to yourself, I just feel so bad about it all. And I don't feel that I myself am really a Christian. I want to explain what it means to have no condemnation. So, now, this is what you've got to remember. This is how you were born into the world. And this is how I was born into the world. I was full of condemnation. Of course, I didn't feel it at first. I was young. What did I know? Did I understand? Didn't always do the very worst things people could do. But in my heart, there was a built-in rebellion against the creator of the universe, which made it easier for me to follow the ways of the world than to follow the ways of God. So when I come into the world, I'm come in condemned. So do not think that your children come into the world coming innocent. They're not innocent. They're just not capable of doing all the sins that they're able to do. They will be capable one day, but unless God in his grace intervenes or they get converted, or maybe they've got a temperament that makes them in a certain way, but they've got this condemnation in them, and that is how they live in this world. That's how you are, that's how I am. Now, let's say that somewhere down the road, the person with all that condemnation in them, let's say that person now meets someone who introduces them to the gospel. And through the gospel, they hear about a savior who has come into the world, and he came into the world so that he could deal with this condemnation. He's going to deal with it. He's going to make it possible for us actually to escape the consequences of being full of condemnation, which is judgment, the ultimate judgment. And this person, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes to the cross, as you know. He dies on the cross and he rises again from the dead. And when the gospel is preached, you hear it and you say, I never knew that. But now I see it and I want it. And you come to the Lord Jesus and you embrace him and he becomes your savior. Now, the moment you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, then there's no condemnation in it anymore. Because all the condemnation was put on Jesus on the cross. And he took it all with him. Can you see that? So there's no condemnation anymore. So now, you come to a Bible study, and I, as your teacher, say to you, if you are a true believer in Jesus, you've got no condemnation anymore over your head. You do not have to live in the land of the laws and the fears, the land of the judges and judgment, and the land of final hell. That is not where you belong anymore. The judgment has been taken away by the Lord Jesus, and that's what Paul is saying. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I said to you that all, the word all, is the total word. It means no. There's no condemnation. And my friend, I'm talking about you tonight, and me, and my wife, and my children, my grandchildren, who believe in the Lord Jesus. They're not perfect. They do things that are wrong. We all do. We wish we could be better than what we are. But from a legal point of view, they are empty. There's no condemnation. You see? There's nothing left for God to judge them for, because everything that God would judge them for has been judged on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he took our condemnation on the cross for him. The many believers who are not well taught, who do not understand the Bible properly, and have not understood their salvation properly, So they walk around life, and if you ask them, do they believe in Jesus, they will say, yes, they do, and they've taken him as their Savior, and they really are sincere. But they've never understood that when they do that, there's no condemnation in their lives anymore. So the consequence is they walk around with a sense of defeat all the time, because they think they're still half full of condemnation. They're not perfect. They wonder how God can actually put up with them, and they feel such failures, and why bother to go to church on Sunday, you know? This week has been such a terrible week, and we had such a big row yesterday, and I don't feel like going to church. I feel like a hypocrite, and I don't understand the word half the time, and when I pray, I don't think God hears me. So what these people are doing is not giving God the credit for telling the truth when God says there is no condemnation. They say, no, but there is condemnation in me because I can feel it. I feel bad inside. And I do believe in Jesus, but I still feel like I'm a real rotter inside. And so they live their lives defeated like this. They live their lives as half Christians. They live as believers in Jesus, but totally defeated. And their Christian lives are not full of joy and not full of happiness and not full of the victory that they should have. Now, there's the third thing that I want to tell you about this notion of joy and this notion of no condemnation. See, we get lots of things mixed up in our lives. And one of the things we get mixed up are our feelings. And you'll notice that I use the word joy and I've used the word no condemnation. Now, hang on to those words for a moment. Now you get the other kind of Christian that comes to church or comes to Bible study. And you meet a lot of them, and sometimes you meet them in churches where everybody's hunky-dory and happy and full of glory and slapping everyone on the back and shouting hallelujah and laying on of hands and listening to prophecies and all that. But in their lives, there are still things that are wrong. They still shout at their wives or shout at their kids. And so they feel guilty when the preacher preaches because they can't see that there's no condemnation in them. They feel there's still some condemnation in them. So when we begin to talk about not having condemnation to people in the way that it should be talked about, as we'll discover as we go along, people say to us, oh, but you're not perfect. You're just like me. We've got our faults. Of course we have. That's what this thing tells us. We've all got faults, but a fault is not condemnation. You see? So people have taken their own experiences and their own failures and not understood the fullness and the height and the length and the depth and the breadth of the cross of Christ and his love for us and what God has done for us. And they hang on to some of their failures, some of their bad memories, some of the things they did before they were converted that they can't forgive themselves for. And so they live a crippled Christian life. And they live like this all the time. And you can counsel them and talk to them. And sometimes they'll feel happy and they'll wipe away the tears and say, well, thank you, that was very helpful. But they don't change because they're living like this. Not so much with the half-full glass, because that half-full person doesn't know whether he's coming or going spiritually. He knows where he ought to be going, and he knows he's got to believe in Jesus, but he still feels that somehow the cross didn't deal with all his sins. This person feels the cross has dealt with my sins, but I'm still human, and I still do all these bad things, and God is going to get me for them, and I don't know how to actually deal with that. And they also refuse to accept the word of God that says there is therefore no condemnation. All right. So now, what does our text say in Romans 8, verse 1? It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So who is the real Christian then? Who is the Christian? They may all be real Christians, but who is the Christian who's really living with full understanding and with real victory and with his feet planted on solid ground? It's the Christian who understands and believes that when God says no, he means no. There's no condemnation, none whatsoever, for those who are Christians. So therefore, it's important for you, if you say that you're a Christian, not to believe your friends who try to tell you you're not a Christian unless you get baptized, you're not a Christian unless you speak in tongues, you're not a Christian unless you obey the pastors, you're not a Christian if you don't do this and that. No. Though all those things put you back under the law that's going to judge you one day and send you to hell. No. There's not a drop of condemnation from God for anyone who's put their trust in the Lord Jesus. And why is that? As I said before, it's because God has taken all of our badness and our failures in it. God has taken it and given it to Jesus and said, drink it. So Jesus drank the cup of wrath. And he went to the cross. And there he entered into the fullness of condemnation for every single person who would put their faith and trust in him. Remember that? Jesus did not die for the people who did not put their faith and trust in him. He dies only for those who put their faith and their trust in him. Because if he died for those who do not put their faith and trust in him, then even those people will go to heaven because their debts have been paid. No, Jesus dies for those who put their faith and their trust in him, and all the condemnation is taken away. So I can get up in the morning and say, oh God, I'm not condemned anymore. Now, I just want to end by saying this, and we'll pick it up next week, just to help you to think through this. Sometimes we get confused between different feelings, as I said to you a few moments ago. And we don't actually understand that we, because we are human beings, we confuse ourselves because we don't understand and read carefully the Word of God. No, no. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God did not say there's no sadness for those who are in Christ Jesus, because sadness is a different thing. You can be sad without being condemned for it. Somebody could die or be hurt, or something could happen in your life that could goes against everything you stand for, and you could feel sad. Now, don't confuse sadness with condemnation. And don't confuse depression with condemnation. Sometimes people can get depressed because of physical reasons, mental reasons, and sometimes they need a lot of help. Sometimes it can be spiritual reasons too. But we must be careful that we get our definitions of feelings right. Just because you are depressed doesn't mean that you are condemned. I've been depressed. Sometimes in your depression you can think that you are condemned. But no, God did not say that there is no depression for those who are in Christ Jesus. Sometimes there is. And God did not say there is no regret for those who are in Christ Jesus. So sometimes we live with a lot of regret in our lives. No, no, what God says to us is there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's a legal word, and God is talking about the day of judgment. He's talking about that moment before the great white throne. He's talking about that moment when the nations of the earth will stand before him. He's talking about that moment when not only are the nations standing before him, but in our own capacities as human beings, we are standing before him. And before him, we have to answer for all our deeds that we've done in the flesh, and he pronounces our eternal destiny upon us. There will be millions of people who have lived, who will be condemned to the outer presence forever and ever to darkness. But not you, and not me. Not because we're better, not because we have achieved more things, but because we have seen that our only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've put our faith and our trust in him. So no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Not no sadness, no depression, no regret, no guilt. No, no, we can feel all those things for other reasons. But that one great sense of being condemned for all eternity has been removed forever. Forever. And there's not a drop left. Not a drop left. For you, for me, for anyone. And with that, I'm going to stop. Father, we thank you for this amazing, amazing truth. It's just so hard to get hold of it. And sometimes, Lord, our feelings, they're all mixed up and tangled up, and we can't get the thing right. So help us to remember that when it comes to the day of judgment, when it comes to that moment of condemnation for a lost world, that we will not be part of it. And we pray that that will bring great joy into our hearts. Help us to think about these things tonight, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.